I absolutely cannot believe what happened to me today. The famous gold course at the Wigwam. I went bogey, bogey, par, bogey to start. And I still didn't break 100. Why am I so terrible? Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Whenever it is that you listen to Doug Franz Unplugged, my family greatly appreciates it. My name is Doug Franz. You have found the only podcast in the world completely devoted to the covering of the four major sports franchises that are all in one market, and that is Phoenix, Arizona. Plus, a little USL, a little NASCAR, little indoor football league, a little WNBA, whatever else is going on, I tried to hit it. This is a vacation version, however. If you're new to Doug Franz Unplugged, if you just found the show, thank you for finding me. I greatly appreciate it. When I say a vacation version, what I mean is I try to do this show in a way that marries radio and podcast together. I have no idea if I'm doing a good job or not. If you think I'm doing a good job, I ask you to enlist into the Unplugged Army, of which I am the commander in chief. But the only way an idea like this actually works of putting together a podcast that drops on your phone every single night and usually by 6 a.m. so you can listen to it on your way into work, listen to it at lunch, listen to it on your way home from work, whatever, is that you become a helpful economic force of mine. And we together combine to create this reality. And what I mean by economic force is if you're a business owner, email me. Tell me, you know what? Let me see how I can advertise on Doug Franz Unplugged. Just send me an email. Just Doug at DougFranzUnplugged.com. Nothing much to it than that. If you're not a business owner, what I need from you is to support the people that are involved with Doug Franz Unplugged. So if you're hungry for lunch, you're hungry for dinner, I got three places I'd like you to think about. Bell's Nashville Kitchen on Main Street in Scottsdale. Old Town, awesome. I'm going there for lunch today, by the way. If you want to stop by and say hi, I'll be there at lunch. You can go get pizza or wings. There's a bunch of Rosati's across the city, but the one that supports Doug Franz Unplugged is the one in Chandler at Ray and McQueen. We also have Burrito Express is a great place to go. They're mostly on the east side. Well, they're all located on the east side. Come on, Angel. Come on. But Burrito Express, I've had the breakfast burrito on a couple occasions. Wow, it is just fantastic. And then if you need air conditioning or heating issues or plumbing or electrical, go to Parker & Sons, 6022 Repair. And Ideal Home Loans is the place to go for mortgages. Those are the sponsors of Doug Franz Unplugged. Ideal Home Loans phone number is 602-899-7000. They see how that and by the way, that number rattles off not because I'm some trained professional, because I used it once. And that's how I got to know them. Is what they, and they have, still have the mortgage on my home right now. So that's kind of the rundown of the show if you're new to the show. There's an event coming up that I would love for you to be a part of. That is this Friday. We are at the Parlay, which is on Price and 202 on the east side. Please come out. If you're an enlisted member of the Unplugged Army, it is a sanctioned event. So then there is an expectation that you will be there. Please figure out a way to make that a part of your day. It's going to be at happy hour. So it can be on your way home from work. It can be go home, grab the family, come back out for dinner. Or it can be like a one-stop type thing where you just stop in with your family or if you're on a date, get a drink and then go on to where you're going next. I think that'd be pretty cool for you to have your first date with us for a little bit. And we'll tell her what a great guy you are. It'll be awesome. So that's coming up on Friday. And that's kind of the rundown of the show. Today's an enormous day. It's really strange the way my life is kind of twisting and turning. And I have zero idea where it's going to end up. And it's kind of strange that way. My whole life, Well, I shouldn't say my whole life. I started off wanting to be a Major League Baseball player. That didn't work. And then I wanted to be a Major League Baseball play-by-play man. I'm still, that dream will never die. I can't imagine sitting behind a microphone and just to be able to say ball two. I mean, just anything. To be able to do Major League Baseball play-by-play would be the greatest dream. I would give anything to do that. And not really, but you know what I mean. And then in order to try to get there, I eventually became a talk show host and spent 15 years here in Phoenix as I moved my way up the ladder. And then after I got let go from the old station, I was like, I don't want to leave this place. I absolutely love Phoenix, Arizona. And my wife didn't want to leave. So that's how the podcast started, is, well, we better figure something out. And luckily, people like Mikey and Angel and my friend Brent, who owns Ideal Home Loans, and Yoda, who owns Fushaw Media, who helped me get the podcast underway, were huge helps. And Paul and Justine have been supporters of mine forever. They're Parker and Sons. So that's how everything got rolling. I don't know why I went through this. Just figured, you know, it might be a good day to reset, kind of tell you why we're here. Well, today I have a meeting with a company that it might give me some direction, and I'm really excited about it. And I have no idea whether I'm selling them something, whether they're selling me something, whether I'm walking out with a job or whether I'm walking out with an opportunity. I don't know. I don't know what's best for me. I don't know what's best for them. I don't know what's best for us, to be honest, but I'm excited. I'm really excited. I want to tell you, my commitment to you is better than Henrik Stenson. If you don't know who he is, he's the Swedish golfer who took the position as captain of the Ryder Cup team for Europe, promised he'd never go to LIV Golf, and now he's leaving for LIV Golf. Isn't that amazing? How much... It's weird to watch millionaires so easily influenced and have their word mean nothing. And how many of these millionaires are Brooks Koepka, who says, of course, there'll be some sellout that goes, and now he's there. Henrik Stenson, who gives his word that he's never going to leave, and he's there. Ian Poulter, who said, I'll play in this golf tournament, and then doesn't show up to play in the LIV Golf tournament. You know, people like that, that are already millionaires. It's just shocking. And now there's reports of David Faraday is going, the reporter, former golfer, who has been with NBC and CBS. Cam Smith is the newest rumor. And when I say newest, I mean it came out, you know, over the weekend. And now there's another rumor that LIV Golf is going after Charles Barkley. And he might leave TNT for that. And Charles, I've heard about the famous gambling debts and things like that, but really? I mean, that one hurts. That now hits home. For us to have a Suns Ring of Honor member that would just sell out, like, I don't know. That one's tough for me to take. So, but I'm really excited for today's meeting. I'll tell you how it goes tomorrow. Tomorrow's show going to be a little different. It's going to be all, I should say all, but a ton of the feedback show. I've really accumulated a lot of emails and tweets over the last week and a half or 2 weeks, and I'm going to go through a lot of them and answer some of your questions, talk to you about different elements of the game, and some are sports questions. I got one question from a woman that says, my nephew is going to be playing baseball, and I want to understand it better. Can you help me? I thought that was really cool. So I'm going to answer that tomorrow. If you have any sports questions, then I'll try to answer them. If you have feedback on the podcast, I want to read it on the podcast and then give you my opinion of your feedback. You might really help me go in a better direction, or I admit I might say, no, that's not really where I want to go. And then I'll just tell you, and hopefully I keep you as a listener to the podcast. So that's all going on tomorrow, and I'm pretty excited about it. I might talk about the ESPYs a little bit. The ESPYs are tonight. I watch the ESPYs, but I do it because I feel like it's my job. I don't really enjoy it that much. I'm kind of bored with it, to be honest. And for a while, it felt like ESPN was more into political stances than they were into sports. I don't know if that's changed. I honestly don't watch a lot of the ESPN programming that much anymore. It's weird. I used to be hardcore SportsCenter dude. I still watch Scott Van Pelt quite a bit. Not quite a bit, but on occasion. But I don't have time for SportsCenter. You know, I mean, I watch the games that I need to watch, and then I get on Twitter and I read about anything that's dropped. And then I have my kind of sources that I go to for reporting and articles and things like that. And then I do the show. So it's kind of weird. That was a hodgepodge of a lot of different things there. Hopefully I didn't bore you like crazy, but hey, it's my vacation. So I'm just going to ramble if I want to. I do have a lot of stuff to talk to you about: college football, little bit of NFL, and up next, I want to talk to you about the All-Star game. That's next on Doug Franz Unplugged. Did you call yet? 602-899-7000. I've been telling you about Ideal Home Loans for years now. They have the mortgage on my home. It's easy for me to say the number over and over again, 602-899-7000. We chose them because, well, I had a friend that said they're good. That was really it. But then when I got to know him, the president, Brent, and talking to him, I realized this is what we want. I appreciated the way Joel, who was our actual guy that handled the loan as a loan officer, listened to what we had to say. That's why I made up the phrase, first they listen, then they lend. The reason why that matters is, let's say right now you're a little nervous because of interest rates, but you've got some bad credit card debt, and maybe your car's getting a little old. This is an amazing opportunity. Housing prices are not only stabilizing, they're just barely starting to come back down the mountain a little bit. That means you're losing the equity in your home. That's money you're losing, but you can call Ideal Home Loans before it's gone. 602-899-7000 or go to idealhomeloans.com. That All-Star game to me was outstanding. Absolutely amazing. It is the type, like, I've never fallen out of love with baseball. I'm still a little angry about the lockout, but I'll never fall out of love with baseball. I can't help it. It means too much to me. It is the memories of growing up around the Big Red Machine and how good that team was. My father taking me to games, especially when he got home from work and we would rush down to Cincinnati. We lived an hour away, you know, so imagine living an hour away from Phoenix. And of course, sometimes with traffic, it takes an hour to get there. But you know, your dad coming home and it's a long drive to another city, and you just had an anticipation and that excitement to do that. You know, and it created a great bond with my father and I. So with my father and me, in case there's grammar police listening. And I love the game. Took my wife to Cooperstown, New York on our honeymoon. I've done all kinds of baseball trips. I've been to almost every park in the country. Not all of them, but I've been to almost every park. So I care a lot. And to see that All-Star game with the mic'd up players, it was a joy because it felt like how much fun the game can be. That's what that broadcast brought out. And I thought the broadcasters did an excellent job, especially when the Toronto Battery was the battery in baseball is an old school phrase for the pitcher and the catcher. And they had both members of the Blue Jays were on the mound and behind the plate, and their chemistry was cool. And Alek Manoah was the pitcher, and he just became a star to me of how well he handled the microphone. And you hear the back and forth and the fun of the game. It was just tremendous to me. If Rob Manfred has any idea what he's doing, and I question whether he does, I would immediately petition MLBPA. Now, they've had other games where people were mic'd up, but it wasn't nearly as well done as that. And what I would do is, you still have to keep the competitiveness of the game, the sanctity of that. But there is no reason why you couldn't pick, say, either maybe the first Friday every month, maybe it would be one Friday in the first half of the season and one Friday in the second half of the season. The reason why I'm saying Friday is rarely do you ever have an off day on a Friday. Rarely. And nobody has off days on Saturdays and Sundays. So maybe you do it on Saturday because everybody plays Saturday and Sunday. But I would have a one day where each team chooses five players to be mic'd up. And you've got to be have the earpiece in and talk to the broadcasters for a whole inning. Five guys on each team. And it's on the same day. And the reason why I'm saying it's on the same day is because it is a little bit of a distraction, obviously. It is something that you're competing. And you don't really want to be interviewed in the middle of a competition. However, the game needs it. The game has to find ways to get into more living rooms, to get in front of more kids, for more people to see the people that are playing it. And I think that would be an incredibly brilliant idea. I sound like a jerk saying that since I've been just the one that came up with it. But you've got to do it in such a way where it's fair to everybody. So if you had everyone, all 30 teams, doing it on the same day, well, then you've got a lot more excitement. Or you could do it where you sprinkle it around. And every Friday night, there's a game that has somebody that has players mic'd up, but it's got to be different teams. You've got to organize the schedule that maybe it happens, you know, I would say if you had an early game at 4 o'clock our time, 7 o'clock Eastern, and then a West Coast game at 7 o'clock, you could do two a night for 30 Fridays. That would be basically the whole season. I bet there's probably about 25, 26 Fridays in a year. Not in a year, but in a Major League Baseball season. You play around with the numbers a little bit, but that's how it would work, that everybody has to take a turn doing it. I think it would be phenomenal. And after watching that game, it was so cool to listen to everybody. Now, the funniest moment as a baseball fan is Ohtani getting picked off. I mean, you are the star of the planet. Shohei Ohtani, the talk of baseball. And you call your shot. What are you doing here? What are you looking at from Kershaw? First pitch, swinging, base hit. He said something like that. Boom, walked up, base hit. And then he gets picked off. Gosh, that's funny. Oh, man. There was a guy. I was a junior in high school. His name was Adam something. I can't remember his last name. And he was a varsity first baseman, but he played behind me and I never, you know, came out of a game. I didn't want to. I loved the game. And he wasn't very good, but he made the team. And he had been 0 for high school, varsity and JV. He was 0 for high school. It was worse than that. He had never been on base. And all of, like, the catcher didn't even drop a third strike. Well, maybe he did, but he threw Adam out at first. Adam never got on base his entire high school career until senior day. And on senior day, I don't know how he did it, but he coaxed his first walk. I can't imagine what it was like to be in the opposing team's dugout, hearing us cheer like crazy for him to get on first. I mean, we were cheering like crazy. And he runs down to first, and the other bench had to be annoyed by us because who cheers a walk like that, you know? But there's no way they knew the story. Adam got picked off. Oh, my gosh. It was crazy. It was absolutely crazy. It was like he was just frozen when the pitcher threw over. Like, he had no idea what to do. Oh, my gosh, that was funny. So I thought of that with Shohei Ohtani and just the fact that one of the greats of the modern game right now, and he gets picked off of first. Goldie went yard. That really made me jealous as a Diamondbacks fan. You know, didn't you feel like that should be us? That should be our guy. I don't want to be a hypocrite, though. I totally understood and was in favor of a Goldie trade if it brought back a haul. I was against that specific Goldie trade. And the reason why I say that is I don't think they got back enough, and therefore that makes me believe it was a salary dump. And I hate salary dumps. Then you're not competing if you salary dump. And I've always believed that's what happened with Paul Goldschmidt. But the team always says it wasn't a salary dump. They thought they got good return. And I say, okay, what are you doing then? Gonsolin is having the best year in the majors, one of the best years in the majors for any pitcher. And he's a losing pitcher. He gave up back-to-back homers to Stanton from the Yankees and Byron Buxton of the Twins. And that those back-to-back homers proved to be the winners for the American League. And then Gonsolin gets the loss. I just wanted to tell you how much I love the game and how much I love that broadcast and my idea for splitting things up and having every team go through it. By the way, speaking of the Diamondbacks, Joe Mantiply got into the game. I cannot remember for the life of me what inning he pitched. I didn't keep score. I'm going to guess it was the sixth, and he struck out the last batter. It was ground out, strikeout. I got to apologize. I don't take notes for my vacation shows. Who was it? Rodriguez was one of the outs. Benintendi was one of the outs. And I can't remember who the third out was. Was it Xander Bogaerts? I think he's the one that struck out. Oh my gosh, if I just got those three right, that's awesome. I am pretty jacked up. But I like Joe Mantiply a lot. And you know what? What's nice for the Diamondbacks is Mantiply went through a bad stretch. And I don't know if he got the situation solved, but in the last series against the Padres, he had a shutdown inning. And to do that and then do it in an all-star game and be able to say, okay, I'm not only an all-star pitcher, but I was only supposed to pitch one inning. I pitched to three batters, got them all out, struck out the last batter, and I'm walking off with a clean inning as an all-star. Well, what does that do for his confidence? And the reason why I'm so happy about it is he's a humble dude. You know, like if you're not a humble dude, you know, I don't know if we really want your confidence going through the roof. Maybe being humbled would be a good thing. But Joe Mantiply is already a humble guy. I think his career path will humble anybody. Something like 49th round pick, 48th round pick, 47th round pick in three successive years. I'm kind of making that up. I forget what he was drafted. But doesn't get what he wants, so he goes to college, went to Virginia Tech, still didn't get drafted where he wanted to, goes to Detroit, bounced between the Yankees and Reds, had Tommy John surgery in there, and he just comes to the Diamondbacks last year as a minor league free agent, and he gets a non-roster invitee into camp and pitches his way onto the team. And now he's an all-star, and now he's going into the second half of the season with that on his resume. That also helps if you're going to trade him. I mean, his stock just went up. I realize it's an exhibition game, but there are teams that are going to say, I need that lefty. Look at the three guys he just got out. And so his stock goes up. That's a benefit. So right now I'm thinking Mantiply, Peralta, and Christian Walker have about two more weeks as Arizona Diamondbacks, and then they're gone. I don't really know who else is really doing well enough that someone would want in a trade and somebody the Diamondbacks would be willing to trade, unless, of course, Madison Bumgarner. If there's anybody that's willing to take that contract off the hands of the Diamondbacks, I think they would jump at it. But at the same time, I mean, if you're a Major League Baseball team, do you think it would add juice to drop one of the greatest postseason pitchers of all time onto a team that's competing for a pennant? What would that do for Mad Bum? Like, I wouldn't do it if I'm a team competing for a playoff. I think Mad Bum's done. I mean, his five and a third innings of work every outing, that's just not enough to believe in if I'm another team, to think this is going to be handy. But could you imagine having Madison Bumgarner pitch in long relief for the postseason? Just come in and get tough lefties out And then, okay, then we'll talk to you about being a starting pitcher next year. I could easily see that. I mean, a big market team, if you're really trying to win the World Series, wouldn't you want that? This might be a great opportunity to get rid of that salary. All right, coming up next, there's a really interesting situation that's happening in college football that could dramatically change the course of the Pac-12. That's next on Doug Franz Unplugged. Told you the beginning of the show, and I mean the very beginning, I could not believe my golf game yesterday. Could not believe it. Now, I'm bad, okay? Just point blank, I'm bad. But I was playing at the Wigwam, and it's the legendary Gold Course. And the Gold Course is just, I mean, well, it's legendary. And it's such a challenge for a weak golfer like me. And I play from the men's tees, not the, like, in the old days, they were called ladies' tees, senior tees, men's tees, and the tips. And I really belong in the tees up. I belong at the senior tees, or whatever they're called now. Forward tees, maybe. I don't know what you call them. But I'm not good enough to be back where I'm at. But everybody play, every man that I know plays back there. And I'm not going to say, hey, now, I play the orange tees. So I play back there. Well, I went bogey, bogey, par, bogey to start my round. And the two of the tougher holes for me are one and two. So I'm sitting there with the lowest score I've ever had through four holes. I am jacked up beyond belief. I shot a 106. Oh my gosh. I mean, you talk about a mental midget. I just had a total breakdown and couldn't recover from it. I am so frustrated. I mean, I've only broken 100 once on the Gold Course, and I've been floating lately at 103 all the time. And now I go bogey, bogey, par, bogey. And by the way, that includes the two front. There's two par fives on the front nine, and it's one and four. So I bogeyed those, and the par I had was a 200-yard par three. Yeah, 200-yard par three. So I'm in heaven with what I've done. And then just, it was awful. Then I went double bogey, bogey. And then I went like a four, a nine, I forget. It was awful. It was just, oh man. Let me get to college football. This is a couple interesting things here that are going on. Some of this is grapevine. Some of this is stuff you can read. And some of this may or may not have come from a text or two. But let's start with the Pac-12 situation as it stands right now. Still a big conversation going on for what's next for ASU and for U of A. And from what I've been told, they are going to stay as a package deal. Wherever they go, they're going together. That's a big, that's not really breaking. That's probably something you could have assumed, but they are, U of A has a special designation of AAU, which is what the Big Ten looks for before they'll take you. And I was actually worried, could the Big Ten come after U of A and not want ASU? But it doesn't look like that's going to happen. It looks like the Big Ten is done, even though Oregon and UW are really pushing hard to try to get into it. Well, the latest is the California governor is irate. Governor Newsom is not just the governor. He's also either the president or the head or whatever position, the chairman, whatever position is at the top of the California Board of Regents, he's got that position. And the Board of Regents in California were not consulted about going to the Big Ten. And he's furious about it. And he said two things yesterday. One, they went to the Big Ten without UCLA. Now, USC is a private school, so the Board of Regents has no power. But UCLA went to the Big Ten without any oversight or support from the Board of Regents. And also, he said they immediately began looking into legal action. If you're a lawyer, I don't know enough about this to understand how the Board of Regents takes one of its own colleges to court. But it's probably a case where they want to block the move for now until they get to look it over and they get to approve it. Now, UCLA's athletic department is atrocious. It's in terrible debt. And going to the Big Ten is such a major change. Schools in the Pac-12 relatively get very little money because the Pac-12 is so poorly run. It's an embarrassment. And it's mostly the fault of Dr. Crow. Dr. Crow is the man that led the charge with Larry Scott to follow Larry Scott's lead. And Larry Scott, I'm sorry to get personal, but he's a doofus. I mean, I am amazed at the ignorance of the presidents of the Pac-12 to keep him employed as long as they did. If you haven't heard all that he was doing, it was having the Pac-12 offices in high-rise buildings in downtown San Francisco, where the rent is outrageous. But that was cool to him. That's what he wanted. And he had extremely expensive Pac-12 studios also in the office. But they weren't smart enough to think about, hey, if we're not going to get the best TV deal, we can't afford these nice posh digs. He also did not go into partnership with ABC, ESPN, or Fox to run the Pac-12 network. And they said they didn't want to because they wanted to support the Olympic sports more. And that's what makes us Conference of Champions. Well, when you do that, ESPN and Fox don't want your network because your network's boring. So now you don't get in bed with ESPN or Fox. Here's why that matters. Now you go to cable and satellite providers and say, will you please air our network? And they just say no. DirecTV just said no. We're not going to air it. Well, they can't say no to the ACC network. I mean, do you really care about Wake Forest lacrosse? I don't. But the ACC network is run by ESPN. So now ESPN can tell DirecTV, okay, if you don't carry ACC network, you don't get us and you don't get the local ABC affiliate anymore. Oh boy. You don't get ESPN too. Oh boy. Okay, fine. We'll air it for you. That's how those negotiations work. So it was just such an ignorant decision by Larry Scott. And since Larry Scott was totally in the palm of Dr. Crow's hand, I squarely blame Dr. Crow for the entire destruction of the Pac-12. Now, Dr. Crow would be highly offended by that if he was on here with me right now. And he's a smarter man than me, so I would probably look kind of silly in an argument. I'm not afraid to admit that, but I know sports better than he does. And he pushed USC into a decision like this. And USC knew what's best for us is to take UCLA with us. So now what's going to happen? Well, who knows about this UCLA Board of Regents battle and who wins that? The Big Ten is not going to be happy about that. However, to me, the Board of Regents is going to sue, get an injunction to block it for a little while. Then they'll do their oversight and do all the things they said that they had to do. And they'll find out, of course, UCLA should go to the Big Ten. So to me, it's a hilarious story. I don't think it changes anything. One of the things I'm kind of wondering, however, UCLA, in a sense, is a branch campus of Cal Berkeley. Cal Berkeley is the head of the University of California system. So it's the University of California is Berkeley, but it's the University of California at Los Angeles. It's a branch college of Cal. I could easily see the Board of Regents somehow trying to push that the only way UCLA can go is if they take Cal with them. And then the Big Ten's got a strange choice. Are you going to dump UCLA and USC over this by being forced to take Cal? Or do you just say, you know what, if we're forced to take Cal, we'll take Stanford then too. And once you take Cal and Stanford, Is it a domino theory that you take Oregon and UW with it? Or is it, no, we've already expanded more than we wanted to, so we're not going to pick up Oregon and UW as well? And then you've just lost most of California as the Pac-12. So what's the right choice for ASU? I talked about this yesterday, so I don't want to go too deep, but it's kind of the situation is very simple. Do you trust everybody and you say, let's stay together and grow it? If you stay together and grow, I think you can do well. I think you're fine. San Diego State, you pick up. UNLV, you pick up. I would try to talk BYU into staying out west instead of going to the Big 12. And I would probably pick up Boise State. And I would take those four schools and I'd say, you know what? We got something here. We're all right. We're all right. If you don't trust the situation, or you're listening to me and even you're worried that UCLA might be forced to take Cal with them, you've got to get into the Big 12 and make a proactive move to get into the Big 12. I have no idea what is, I shouldn't say that. I think I'm pretty confident on what's best for ASU. That's the conference, the Pac-12 staying together. I'm not really looking at it happening. Now, here's the next shakeup that's going on in college football that's really interesting. Notre Dame is, according to reports, I'm not reporting this, I'm just reading this, has told NBC they want $75 million a year in their next deal. Now, that's weird. Can NBC really generate $75 million a year on Notre Dame football? I don't think so. Maybe. I don't think so, though. However, the Big Ten is hoping to cross the $1 billion plateau when it comes to their next media rights deal. It is believed every team will get over $100 million. I mean, you talk about the gap here in what SEC schools are going to make. I believe this is off the top of my head, so please give me a little bit of room. I think ASU made about $30 million, $35 million off the Pac-12 media rights last year. And we're talking about UCLA and USC are about to go north of $100 million in media rights every year from the Big Ten. Well, Notre Dame is looking at it and saying, we'd like to keep our independence so we understand you're not going to pay us as much as a conference does per team, but we want to be the big dog. So NBC is looking into not just actually agreeing to a $75 million figure, but they think if they've got to invest that much money into Notre Dame football, that they need something else, that they want to be able to combine Notre Dame football with another conference. So I look at that and think you've got two choices. Because when there's a rights deal, it's only home games we're talking about. You can't pay Notre Dame money to show their road games because the home team has the rights to the game. So I think you got two options if you're NBC. You make a deal with the ACC. And the reason why I say ACC is the Big Ten and SEC are going to be wrapped up. Maybe you can get on board in the NBA, in the Big Ten. But I make a deal with the ACC in the for a midday spot that leads into Notre Dame at night. And or I make a deal with the Pac-12 to give me a late game and put that on after Notre Dame. That way I'm getting the West Coast market at prime time, but I have a Notre Dame lead into it. Or maybe I do all three and I schedule it around Notre Dame football. Now, if NBC either doesn't get the deals they want elsewhere, or they decide not to spend $75 million on Notre Dame, a lot of people believe Notre Dame might join the Big Ten. They might finally say, fine, we'll join the Big Ten. You've already got USC. You got that rivalry for us. We're here. And the Big Ten might say we're done expanding until they hear from Notre Dame and they say, okay, we're definitely going to do this. And then it would be probably the SEC's move next. And the SEC might decide, do we help out financially with the lawsuits that would be entailed for Clemson, Florida State, and Miami to get out of the ACC? That's how messy all of this could get, or it might not go any that way at all. I bring up the Notre Dame NBC thing because I think it makes a lot of sense for the Pac-12 to really sell themselves to NBC. NBC also has a streaming service, Peacock, which they really want to have different exclusive programming for, to be able to build that up. And I could see an easy plan that you have one game early in the day leading into Notre Dame football and one game after Notre Dame football. And I bet NBC would easily pay for that. And I would give them three windows. You'd have a Peacock window. I would do something nobody's ever done. I think this is what you've got to do in sports. A Peacock window. So that game would probably be around noon our time. And that game would only be on Peacock, except I would allow it to be broadcast on the local NBC affiliate of that market. So therefore, you're drumming up Peacock numbers nationally. But if it's ASU that's playing, 12 News here in Phoenix gets to carry the game. Then show Notre Dame at 7 o'clock and then show Pac-12 after dark. I shouldn't say Notre Dame at 7. Notre Dame at 4 o'clock our time, 7 o'clock their time. And then when that game's over, you've got a Pac-12 after dark game at 7 o'clock our time. I think it's brilliant. And it's the best two ideas I've had today. Then I turned around and called them brilliant. That's so arrogant. I promise you, I don't mean it like that. I just started thinking about the idea and I thought, hey, that's really good. And I forget who invented it. Because I don't sit here and think about like I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to you like we're in a conversation. So I'm sure you had some feedback and now we're agreeing that, hey, brilliant idea. Glad I thought of it. But I think that that's how the Pac-12 can survive, getting more players to the table. I would even try to facilitate that if I'm the Pac-12. I might even offer up one team per year plays a road game at Notre Dame with no expected return. I mean, Notre Dame would eat that up. But if I'm the Pac-12 and I'm able to secure a major over-the-air network like NBC television package, you got to start thinking differently. You can't just follow along the way it's always been. I think that would do wonders for the Pac-12. So ASU still has two choices, and so does U of A. Be aggressive, control your own fate, and go to the Big 12, which might not be the better deal, but it's stable. Or stay in place, rebuild the Pac-12, and hope you can think outside the box, come up ideas with Notre Dame, come up with an idea to keep Oregon and UW happy and stay together, and hope Gavin Newsom doesn't force Cal into the Big Ten somehow. That's reactive. You know, you're hoping, and only rebellions are built on hope. Coming up next, I got some football stuff for you. Strange situation with DeAndre Hopkins and the 49ers as well. It's coming up on Doug Franz Unplugged. In the last segment, I forgot to talk about Diamondbacks. I got two Diamondback pieces of information. Drew Jones, Andrew Jones's son, is the number two pick overall in the draft by the Diamondbacks. He's already signed. And that's a big deal in because baseball's unlike other sports where when you draft a kid out of high school or after or out of junior college or out of a major college after his junior year, you never know if he'll report or not report. You don't know if he'll sign. He might decide to go back to school. And Drew Jones agreed to an $8 million deal, which is the highest ever paid to a number two pick in the draft. So the Diamondbacks were serious to go that high to pay Drew Jones and make sure he doesn't go to college. And man, it's scary to think the future of the Diamondbacks is on an 18-year-old kid. But if he can make the majors in 2 years, 3 years, wow. And it was really interesting. I was watching the Derek Jeter documentary. I respect Derek Jeter, but I don't know. It's a different thing. Maybe it's because of COVID, but you know, we were in the middle of the lockdown watching the Michael Jordan thing, and that was still such a fresh memory to me of going through that as a college kid watching Michael. And the competitive nature of him and the backstory, there was so much drama there. Yet it was all so controlled, where I don't know enough about Jeter drama to then be interested to find out the true story. Now, if he's willing to actually open up on some of the drama, okay, you know, then it'll be interesting to actually watch. The first one, or the first episode, I wasn't bored, but I wasn't entertained either. Does that make sense? It is an incredible story that he grew up dreaming of being the Yankees shortstop, and the Yankees picked him, you know, and he slipped by all of those other teams. The draft part was pretty interesting. And then watching that old computer, if you didn't see it, just watching the people put the names into this old computer is hysterical. Like, have we really advanced that far? Wow. So that was kind of entertaining. But anyway, my point about Derek Jeter was his admittance of how bad he struggled early in his career. And I mean, as a professional in the minor leagues, and was just lost, totally lost. So we're going to have to be very patient with Drew Jones. I'm sure he's going to go through that time frame. And then the other news is Gavin Turley was drafted in the 9th round. He's an outfielder drafted at number 558, but he went to Hamilton. So that's really cool. You know, that's really cool of the Diamondbacks to draft him. I mean, obviously he earned it. You getting drafted in the 9th round, that's not, you know, that's not like a gimme. You don't just throw away picks in the 9th round. So you're believing in him. It might be tough to sign him. He's probably gung-ho about going to Oregon State. And the things I've read in the Republic about it, it sounded like he's really gung-ho about going to Oregon State. So I don't know if he's good enough where you're going to go what's called over slot to sign him. Every draft pick in the top 10 rounds has a slot. And then you're allocated that an X amount of dollars for each slot. When I say slot, I mean what number pick you are in relationship to what round. And there's a dollar figure attached to each pick. You're allowed to go above that dollar figure. But if you do, you incur a penalty, a financial penalty. So if you're Ken Kendrick, and if you go over your pool money, you are now going to face a hefty fine and you get less money in the future. So it's a big blow if you do it, but you might get better players if you do it. So that's a couple of things on the Diamondbacks draft. This is a weird story NFL-wise. DeAndre Hopkins, 6-game suspension. Recently, the NFL Network reported that he had taken a performance-enhancing substance and a diuretic, which is a masking agent, and that's how he got the 6 games. So that was their report. Well, there's a little part of the CBA. It's kind of interesting. If a player says things that are factually incorrect about the testing procedure or what they tested for, the NFL can come out and defend itself and actually publicize the test. So all the NFL has done is said that he tested positive for a banned substance. He suspended 6 games. Now NFL Network, which is owned by the NFL, is reporting that he also tested positive for the diuretic. That means he's a true liar. I mean, I totally believe it's a dishonest joke. Maybe I'm a horrible person for it, but don't tell me, as D-Hop did, that it was an accident. you don't know how this got into your body and you're going to fight it like crazy. Okay, where's the fight at? And if you're truly going to fight it, then why would you say, I'm going to start looking into how this happened when the suspension was announced probably about 4 months after you tested positive? So what have you been doing for 4 months? You knew, they tell you pretty quickly afterwards that you've tested positive. So you had plenty of time to figure out how this magic elixir got in you. But just by saying, this is an accident, I don't know how this happened, I don't know how it got into me, that's not a violation of the agreement because you're not questioning the testing. You're just saying, I don't know how it got in me. Well, the NFLPA issued a statement about the NFL Network's report saying D-Hop never took a diuretic, never tested positive for a masking agent, and he only tested positive for the performance-enhancing drug. And they left it at that. So it's an interesting battle of how would NFL Network, which is owned and operated by the NFL, get a report wrong about one of its players when they're the ones that administer the test? And there's no response as of yet from the NFL to the NFLPA statement. So it does seem like they butchered that report, unless they come out and go after the NFLPA for this. So it's just a little interesting thing about Diop. It doesn't change a thing. He's still eligible to play week 7, which is a Thursday night game against the Saints. And then the other NFL thing to learn is Jimmy G is supposed to be cleared in mid-August. I'm following this. If you're a Cardinals fan, I think you follow the Jimmy G situation just to see if he actually plays for San Francisco. Because he has a $7.5 million fully guaranteed contract for next year for injury. What that means is if he can't play because he's hurt, he gets paid $7.5 million. But if he's healthy, then the 49ers can cut him. And his $7.5 million doesn't become guaranteed unless the 49ers keep him on their week 1 roster. So, and that means you just make final cuts. So with Jimmy G, he's supposed to be cleared from shoulder surgery in mid-August. And it's hilarious if the 49ers butchered this thing this bad that they're going to have to either eat it or this whole time they've been saying how good he is and we're just going to trade him and they end up just dumping him and getting nothing for him. And that's probably what's going to happen. The one thing, if you're a Cardinals fan, to keep an eye on is, are the 49ers so stubborn that they refuse to trade Jimmy G for a low offer? And even though they're going to get nothing for him, they actually keep him on the roster, eat the $7.5 million cap hit, and have that weird dynamic of Trey Lance as the starter and Jimmy G on the bench, that you're paying more money to him than you are to the starter. And then you're going to ask him to help out the team. I don't think that happens in a million years. I think Jimmy G goes all the way to last cuts and the 49ers are secretly hoping somebody on another team gets hurt and they need to trade for a quarterback. And if nobody trades for a quarterback, they cut Jimmy G before week 1. But that also hurts Jimmy G. That shows it was wrong of him to get the shoulder surgery when he did, because he could have been traded before the shoulder surgery, then had the surgery and still been ready by mid-August, but then been working out with his team, his new team, getting to know the playbook this whole time. He would have had an entire offseason. Who's going to want to trade for Jimmy G? Because you have to be somebody that doesn't believe he's a loser, that believes he can win the big game, and you also believe that you can get him up to speed with your offense in enough time for him to be productive. I don't think any of that's possible. That's it for my Wednesday edition of Doug Franz Unplugged. Do me a favor tomorrow, and please, well, first of all, today, if you feel like eating lunch with me, I'd love to see you at Bell's Nashville Kitchen. But tomorrow, I'm going to be doing a lot of the reading of your tweets, your emails, and any feedback you have, any questions you have. So feel free to flood me up with those And I won't respond to you email wise or on Twitter on that one, because I'm just going to save them and I'll do it for tomorrow's Doug Franz Unplugged. Love to have you a part of that. And please, right now, put it on your calendar. Friday from 5 to 8, let's say. I guarantee you I'll be there a little earlier than 5, and I have no idea when I'm leaving. The parlay, price, and the 202. I'd love to see you there Friday for happy hour for a sanctioned event for the Unplugged Army. It really helps me look good in front of my bosses for Props Arizona presented by Betfred Sports if you are able to attend. I'd greatly appreciate it. I'll see you tomorrow.